Some of the talking points on today's episode, we're going to be covering some reviews and impressions on some games, Silent Hill F, Dune Awakening, Hell Is Us. We're also going to be talking about NVIDIA dumping a whole bunch of money, like $5 billion to Intel, DNA cassette tape for storage. You heard it right. The latest on the Tencent versus Sony suit, and much, much more. So we'll talk to you in just a moment.
Welcome to the Extreme Gaming Podcast.
Welcome to Extreme Gaming Podcast, episode 299. I'm GreyGamer25, and my buddies right here are...
I am Irish Guardian, also known as Matt on Twitch. How you doing?
And I am Hans, known as Megal from Hell.
Perfecto. So, how you boys been since the last time?
Who's surviving?
Surviving.
Great. That's always, a good word. It's always good to know you're surviving.
So, yeah.
If you weren't, you wouldn't be on the podcast. Or you'd be like this. You know, like...
Or like this.
Yeah, oh my God, yeah.
All right, well, we're into some more stuff as usual. We're going to get right into gaming. Hans has played a little bit of Silent Hill F, so he's going to talk about what he has seen, felt, what he thinks, and so forth. So take it away.
Well, Silent Hill F released early for the people who bought the Digital Deluxe, which, by the way, I got to add on Steam, is €90. Which I didn't pay.
90?
I
bought it off, are you kidding?
$89.99, yeah. I bought it off a key site for $46, I think, which is still pretty expensive, but still it's half the price.
Yeah.
Saying, so there are other ways, but I think the price is getting ridiculous, by the way. So, I mean, that little side tangent, but now on to the game. So I played like the first hour and a half of it, which is basically the intro, and all I can say so far, it plays like a survival horror game. And remember, there were some people saying the game Souls-like. And I was like, well, it's not really, but I can see where they're coming from. Because there is a stamina meter that you have, and the combat involves a lot of dodging, especially in the early parts of the game. It's not like Dark Souls or whatever, that you die like every 5 seconds to a mob, right? It's not that brutal, but I can at least see where they're coming from. Apparently, the boss fights are quite challenging with that mechanic. I haven't encountered a boss yet, so I can't speak for that. Probably more on that next week. And for you, Gray, there's actually something cool in there. There's only two difficulties. Story and hard. That's it.
Okay.
So there's no in between. So, by the way, I admit I put it on story also. I did put the puzzles on hard. So, because I do think survival horror games revolve around, you know, solving some puzzles.
Wait a minute, you just mentioned something interesting. So, they have a separate difficulty for different
for
things
the puzzles
in the game?
Yeah, for the difficulty and the puzzle difficulty.
Is the difficulty only those two things, or does it break
down to
other
things?
That's
the only two things you can
okay, right.
Use... I mean,
well, I'll put my puzzles on self...
I actually kind of like... Self-solving. In survival horror games, I kind of like doing those puzzles, so that I did put on hard. We'll see if I have to drop it down at some point, because sometimes they are very illogical. Silent Hill 2 remake.
I guess it depends on what you're doing. Like with AC Shadows, the thing was so repetitive that you just had to turn it to autocomplete because it was getting ridiculous.
Don't get me started on AC Shadows again.
No problem.
I like the game, though, but there's some points about that game that I still have a problem with in AC Shadows. But
Anyway, back to Silent Hill. What did you think of the overall like atmosphere, etc.?
The first question that came to mind is, what does this have to do with Silent Hill, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is in the 1960s, somewhere in Japan. You play as a schoolgirl. I don't really know what's going on yet. I found one note which said there's earthquakes in the area, which probably has something to do with what is happening now or what is going to happen in the game, and that there was an abandoned mine. So the mine has closed down. And if I remember correctly, in the first Silent Hill, it was based on the real town with a mining fire that still burns now, even to this day. So I'm guessing there's a connection there. the first few mobs that I encountered, they were typically Silent Hill, right? Like the creepy nurses-like thingy.
Oh, I remember them, yeah.
But, yep, as so far, I don't have a weapon yet, so I can't do any fighting. I can only dodge and run away. And I don't have a radio. In Silent Hill, you most of the time have a radio, and if it starts crackling, then that means there's a mob nearby, right?
Yeah.
And I don't have one yet, but there's a radio that I encountered in the game that was just sitting there, so it started to crackle, and there was indeed a mob near. So I'm guessing I'm going to get one later on in the game. Mm. Can't really say that, and that's about all I can say at the moment. That's all I did. Now, you did maybe hear about the so-called woke controversy that was going on around this game, right?
I didn't hear about it. You sent me that thing.
It is completely insane. There's actually people boycotting the game, and I kid you not. At first, I thought this was a joke, by the way. So, people are boycotting this game, or want to boycott this game, because you can't look under her skirt. Mind you...
Oh, that's gray out as well, yeah.
Mind you, you play as a schoolgirl. She's probably 15 or 16 years old.
Matt, mm-hmm. I just sent that to you. And look at the picture because I want to make a comment about that.
That is why people are boycotting the game. And at first I was like, this has to be a joke, right? And no.
That is ridiculous.
There's entire YouTube videos already dedicated to that thing. And if you go on the Steam forums, there's a few threads about the censorship. Mm-hmm. Then there's also people complaining about the game being woke. I was like, what the hell is woke about this game,
like,
right?
They gotta get a life there's or something.
I was like, what are we doing here, people? I mean...
Investigate those people now.
Right. The thing is, though, I'm on the Steam forums a lot for the games that I own to help people or see if they can help me with a problem and all kind of stuff.
Right.
And the last, let's say, year... The Steam forums have become this one giant complaining board about everything. Every game is woke. Every game is censored. Every game has sweet baby ink or whatever it was called.
Man.
There's always something. I was like, this has got to stop at some point. I know I'm going on a rant here, but the picture to me, that is complete insanity, right? I mean, I just want to play a Silent Hill game.
Exactly, yeah.
I don't care about looking under some... underage schoolgirl skirt, and I would certainly not boycott the game for that one.
Well, when I'm looking at this picture, and for those of you listening to the audio, I'll try to put this picture in the video version of our pod. But this is the picture that they're worried about, this one right here that you sent me? The one they're all concerned. I don't understand what's to be concerned about. They're talking about... I'll read you what it said on the comment. It says, when you travel, and it, by the way, it was sent anonymous because of course it is.
Of course it is.
When you travel to the other dimension, her model is a pair of floating panties surrounded by shadows. And so they show the picture, and I'm going like, are you kidding me? I mean, first of all, okay, her dress is flown up some, no big deal. You can't even make out that she's wearing panties because there's shadows everywhere.
Yeah, they claim so it's I'm a supposed big to, I'm black supposed, diaper. That's
yeah,
what they say.
I'm supposed
on
to sit there and go like, and to be honest with you, if we want to stretch this a little bit, okay, I could easily just say that's an undergarment, not panties. But you know how some women wear another piece of garment underneath a garment.
That's
what
players these days.
Especially if we go back to the timeline, this is the 1960s, right?
Yeah.
Aunties bloomers.
Aunties
bloomers.
Something like that.
I guess
to me, that is total insanity as to why somebody would boycott this game for that reason. This people, I can't believe I have to say this, but this is not censoring, right? This is complete insanity.
No, we're good.
They're just being stupid and they're ruining something that's good.
I just want to play a Silent Hill game. Yeah. I really don't want to know all this kind of stuff.
Thank goodness that
I thought they were going to moan about the fog.
Oh, yeah, there's something to say about the fog, though. No, seriously, there's something to say about it.
Yeah.
What?
Because you're playing an Unreal 5 engine game, and we all know how crippling Unreal 5 can be on your graphics card, right?
Yeah.
And in this case, the fog actually helps because it hides a lot of 3D effects, which is... This is something they used to do, I think, back on PlayStation 1 and 2.
That's right. Yeah.
To ease the load of the graphics card and the CPU.
If done properly, you wouldn't know anyway.
In this game, it doesn't bother me, and so far, I don't see any reason to say this. This, I mean, it's insanity.
Well, yeah. Look, on the way, on the side of the so-called woke junk or whatever, I mean,
there's nothing woke about this game. Sorry.
Thank goodness there's a lot of people creating games like the people that are making Stellar Blade and other ones that they're not caring about any of that stuff. They're trying to put out games that people want to play. So, I think the trend is now switching back again, like it should be. It's almost kind of like simple stuff. That Dragon's Age, when I played the newer
the Veil
game.
Guard.
Yeah. I mean, I'm playing it. I'm going like, so I'm hitting these people with swords and all kinds of things. They don't bleed at all. I mean, at all. They just go, whatever. And I'm like, okay.
Because I did say, though, when that game came out, Dragon Age of Veilguard was like, okay, we now hit peak wokeness, so to speak.
Yeah.
Right?
You can
only go downhill from here. And that's a good thing, by the way, because that game was just over the top with identity politics. And, you know, we all know we're not the kind of people that actually like woke. So I just like my games to be normal, right? I don't want to have it shoved in my face.
Yeah,
but
don't
when
bring
it's
in
not
this
there,
nonsense.
Then it's not there. I mean, if it was woke, I would have told you so. This isn't woke. It's just a Silent Hill game.
I just remember when I played all the other Dragon Ages and loved them. That, you know, you swing a sword, you there's blood flying all over the place. You're chopping things off or whatever, and that's not that long ago. So it was funny because as soon as I started thinking about this, when I saw this, some guy put together a video that was great. On one side of the screen, he had Veil Guard, and the other side, he had, I think it was Dragon Age 2.
Yeah.
And wow, man, what a difference! Besides the fact that the graphics might have looked a little better on the on the newest one, boy, with this guy was hacking and slashing through monsters, and you don't see, and on the side of Veil Guard, that's not happening, man.
The thing is, though, I mean, a lot of people called Baldur's Gate 3 woke, which I can see where they came from, but in that game, I thought it was, how do I say this? They implemented the woke in a fun way, right? So you could actually embrace
like
it in the game.
Kind of thing or whatever.
Yeah, you can actually embrace it in the game, and then I don't have a problem with it then. So, but in the Veil Guard, it was like a constant lecture of this and that, and you need, oh man. So I don't want it in my games, I'm sorry.
They might just come out with a version where there's no fighting, no bloodletting, and of course the game will sell 3 copies.
but I mean, back to Silent Hill then, I mean, for everybody out there that has a fear of this game being woke, it's not, right? It's completely not woke. It is not Souls-like yet. I mean, again, it has a stamina bar, so that could be potentially very annoying during a boss fight. I don't know yet. Jury's still out on that one, but
Is there a tech tree on this thing, or no?
No, not that I know, at least. I did find a charm, which I think you can equip, and it gives you some bonus. And also, when you save the game, right, you need to go to a shrine and pray, and you can actually make an offering there. And depending on what you offer, you get an item.
That's cool.
But again, not deep enough yet to see what the good items are. So, but that is a possibility.
I'm thinking you'll probably find an item that's going to extend your stamina. I would think.
I guess so. At the moment, I don't even have a weapon.
I'll regen. Yeah.
I don't even have a weapon at the moment, so I can't do any combat.
You don't have enough stamina to wield a weapon yet.
The thing is, if there's a monster, right, and you need to run away from it or dodge, just like in indeed the Souls games, you lose stamina. Right? So I think that is where the comparison comes from to a lot of people, which, to my knowledge, has never been used in a Silent Hill game.
Well, it may have been used in a Hill game, but stamina was a common thing being used in a lot of games. Maybe not as much now.
I don't think it's going to be that big of a problem as people say, but we'll see when I encounter the first boss, I guess. If I don't have a weapon with the first boss, then I'm in trouble.
Just kick him in the nuts and run.
Probably. Could do.
There might be a timing thing as well. But, you know, if
I mean, the game releases on Wednesday evening, I think, for the general public. So we'll see them. Oh, maybe one thing to add, though. HDR doesn't really work in the game yet, and DLSS gives some major graphical glitches if you don't cap your FPS to 60.
I heard they're already putting a patch out, or they already did. I don't know.
I guess they will do a day one patch, but besides from that, the game runs flawlessly. Hello, Randy Pitchford and Borderlands 4, right? So it can be done.
We were covering that last time, Matt. I'm sure you've seen some of it, but Randy Pritchard keeps coming up with all these excuses, blaming the gamers. Yeah. You know, go write your own engine. Like, okay.
It's a premium experience for premium gamers. Like, okay, Randy, F off.
Well, Digital Foundry just did a video on it. So, you know how they get down into the minutiae, whether you're interested or not. And they went after it and said, like, yeah, it has problems, man.
Does. Yeah. And I can for sure say Silent Hill doesn't have those kind of problems. Again, I have to specify this always because people criticize me sometimes for that, and my friends also. I have high-end hardware, I know. So if there's a problem, most of the time I can brute force my way around the problem. So we'll see when the people with the mid-range and lower-end cards get to play the game. We'll see. So, but for me, it runs okay. I don't have any major issues. And it runs, even without DLSS, I get like 80 to 90 FPS.
I'm looking forward to what you think as you get really into the game. Did you see anything about how many hours to complete?
Apparently, it takes about 12 hours to complete.
Well, that's not that much.
Which, for me, will probably be then around 20 to 25 because I play very slowly in those games. And I do go off on side things if there is anything, right?
I've not played a lot of Silent Hill, but is that common? That kind of playtime, I guess.
Silent Hill 2, I think. Let me check the remake I did last year. I think I put in 40 hours. I need to check this very quickly now.
Because, I mean, it sounds like fun, but I'm thinking back on the cost now. If they're charging that much for the game.
Excuse me, Silent Hill 2, I played 25 hours to complete it.
So even at that rate, if they're publishing this fact that it's 12, that's bad enough because you're thinking, like, well, I paid $80 for it. I'm getting 12 hours and I'm done.
To be fair, though, I'm not defending the price tag. That is just lunacy to me. I don't think any game should be more than 50, but that's a personal opinion. I mean, but when the developers say it takes like 12 hours, that means it's straight to the point and without dying and stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think a more logical thing would be 16, 17.
Yeah, I mean,
and if you play like me, it's probably between 20 and 25.
That's so more depending like on your playstyle. Whatever they say, I double it.
Yeah. So because I'm not the one that just plays straight to the point. If there's an arrow that says go right, I will go left, right?
just to see what's there. Yeah, I would like that as well.
That's me.
That's kind of like I'm playing a Sniper Elite Resistance, and they came out with 3 new DLC, so I waited till they are all out before I went to play it, because I wanted to play them, have something there. So I've seen people who sit there and go like, yeah, I completed, Yucca Yucca Mission in, whatever time. And I'm going like, all they're doing, though, is they're flying through it, running and gunning. It's not even the it's not even what the game's about.
Yeah.
The game's about being a sniper. I mean, thinking like way more to finish my missions.
I think we're the same in that respect, because we always... At least I do, and I think you too. We play the game very slowly, right?
Yeah.
At least I take my time for every game.
Yeah. So, I mean, you might miss something. I've known to play some games, and then someone's going, oh, I found this there. And I'm like, oh. And then having to go back or restart. Yeah. And then from there on in, I've just been, okay, I'm going to go this way. I'm going to go this way. I'm going to look through this little thing.
Me too.
I'm still going to go down there.
On this game, Sniper Elite, I mean, I'm not going to say I'm a completionist. I'm not worried if I get all the trophies.
Me neither.
What I do like to do is I like to eliminate everybody on the map. I mean, I don't have to, but I like to. It's fun. It gets a challenge. And you were right about something, Matt, about sometimes you miss something, because I had done the missions. There was still a truck to explode. It wasn't necessary to blow it up because I had already finished what was really
needed.
It's
always necessary to blow things
up. Right, and I'm sitting there going like, well, I'm not going to leave it there. So I just go over and blow it up. And then since I blew it up, then it triggered a cutscene to where this V2 rocket, World War II, right? So this V2 rocket starts to take off, and it gets stuck on the ramp because I sabotaged it. And then it says, shoot the rocket. Now, if I hadn't paid attention to stuff, I would have exfiltrated and I never would have known it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going like, cool. So I pick off a V2 at 200 meters and blow it up. And then I exfiltrate. I was like, yeah, man.
That is
cool.
Very snipery, is it?
Yeah.
So I just thought that was pretty cool.
Hit it with a hammer.
Yeah.
Well, the first things I do, and I mean, it's no, you all know out there probably by now, Sniper's my favorite games. But my next favorite is pretty much everything else. But everything, what I really enjoy in the Sniper Elite kind of games, or Sniper Ghost Warrior, I don't know if they're going to do a new one of those. But I'm looking for the shots I can take that are long, you know, because shot is just...
Speaking of Sniper, can I show you something quick?
Yeah. Oh, here we go. He's got
something I completely forgot that I
had. Get a sniper rifle. Go on.
No, it's not a sniper rifle.
He's going to show a sniper rifle. There's a whole sniper rifle. Yeah, look at this. I just used it yesterday. Yeah.
Forgot I even had this.
It's who I shot before.
No, oh, okay. There you go. Yeah.
I actually found it in one of my boxes. I bought this like years ago, I guess.
Yeah.
So, nice.
Yeah, that game goes back because it's already Sniper Ghost Wars on 4 or 5. I forget.
Yeah.
Is it?
You know, or whatever.
But with stuff inside. So.
When I was playing, what I was saying with those games is, I look for the long shots. When I first go enter a map, they always put you on a wherever piece of ground before you walk into a danger or whatever. So from my vantage point, I just sit there and I scope with binoculars everybody I can. And I got people like are 500 meters away, 600 meters away, 700 meters away. Oh. And I'm going like, yeah. So I go after them, and boy, you got to stay steady because they're way out there, you know, and stuff. And I picked off this sniper on the Nazi side that was at 645 meters. And I'm just going like, taking my time, and all of a sudden, bing, and he's gone. I was like, it's great, man. I love it. It's so good. Then you get the rare times where you might get rare shots where the two characters kind of line up and you can take them both out with one bullet. That's rough, and it's
double,
and you don't
shot.
Get that very often. But that's the fun thing about it. You wait for these things to see if you can do it. Now, the other thing is replayability. I could go back in there and decide to hamper myself and not use my sniper rifle as much, maybe go more on the stealth side of things, and do it that way, you know, and stuff. So that's the cool thing. If you can get some good, decent replayability out of your game, you know, not bad, right?
Yeah, that's good.
All right, so I will definitely be wanting to hear from you as you get into the game, Hans.
Yeah, next week I should finish it probably, so.
Cool. All right, we're going to move on to some more game impressions or reviews. And Matt, I guess you messed with Dune Awakening again?
I did. So, they had a free weekend a couple of weeks ago on the 11th to the 15th.
But they had more than one, too.
Technically, it was only for 2 days. So it was Saturday, it was unlocked, and Sunday, there wasn't a Friday or anything. It was a dodgy weekend. Mm-hmm. I jumped in to play a few games of there. It was okay. The story part at the beginning was fine. I had to recreate mm-hmm. my character because I remember that I deleted it.
Was this your second time playing it, or?
It was the first time playing the demo, but it was the second time because they gave you prior to that a character creation
tool okay.
prior to the game, because I was going to get it, and because I was into mines for ages. I think I've been asking people, what do you think about this game? What would you do? Would you join? So blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And I think I came to the result of not doing it at all. but I did do the free weekend just to have a go at it. And I found it to be quite boring, quite plain. Pretty much on the servers that I joined, they were empty.
Really?
Wow. Yeah, they were empty. They give you like, you can do high population, low population. So I did two, and there was like no players around that I could see. There were NPCs scattered here and there, not very close by. And with the amount of space that you have, there's not really much you can do but run from a big giant worm that's going to come at you. It's a bit like where...
That's Dune. Yeah, that's Dune.
Yeah. So
I also heard you can't ride the worm, or can you?
Eventually, you should be able to. Yeah.
Okay.
As the chosen one. I kind of got to a certain point, started building a base, ran around, collecting, building. And at that point, I was like, you know what? I'm not getting anywhere. I'm not getting anything from this. Yeah. I did enjoy how they put things together. It's very much Conan-y with a new skin. It really is, especially with the climbing aspects as well. Some of it was quite newish and interesting, like the... when you're attacking NPCs, But it was kind of like a bit naff. Looking up to the sky was quite interesting. You could see ships. You could see the big circly... Is it the Reckon ship that you see? So that's quite fun. That was quite interesting for that. Other than that, I was a bit,
fly the dragonfly ship, whatever they call it?
No, I was still building a base. I was still right at the beginning near enough. And I spent hours on it.
Well, that was your mistake. You should have been building a base.
Yeah. I even told the missus to go away and cook while I was doing this so I could have a few hours. And she's just like, you look frustrated. And I'm like, I'm playing this game. And she was like, you're not really doing much. I'm like, oh, I'm doing enough.
So it's not out completely yet, then, apparently, or is it?
I think it is, yeah.
It's
released, yeah.
The main criticism I heard is that the game is very empty, apparently.
So. It is empty. It's so, very sparse.
Yeah, that's
empty.
A shame. That's weird.
I know a few friends of mine that played, and they say there's literally, if you don't have your own server, so to speak, it's kind of pointless. So I'm not sure if you can even get your own server, but yeah.
Yeah, it's horrible.
That's a shame. It really is.
Absolutely. So as this weekend came out, there was quite a mixed reaction from newcomers and longtime supporters. The things that went well was apparently there was no restrictions. So new players, old players, all had full access to all the zones.
That's good.
I'd never seen all the zones. I was still stuck in the desert. So you had the Hega Basin, the Deep Desert, which is probably where I was. Deep, there you go. Harko Village and the Arcane City with progress carrying over if they brought the game afterwards. So that was another thing, if you know.
I think the thing that is disappointing is, like, I'm a big fan of the movies and stuff, so I was thinking, like, ooh, the game would be cool. But there's a lot of Dune fans out there, and if you came in a free weekend and you're telling me the servers were empty, I'm like, wow, that's... The fans aren't grabbing onto it, so that's not a good sign.
Exactly, yeah. So they had a Chapter 2 update, which dropped just before the weekend, which is the new DLC that they had, which adds new story content and Lost Harvest DLC, which helped boost visibility, apparently.
And more empty spaces?
Yeah, more empty spaces. Yeah. Oh, I can see more empty space now.
You can see more emptiness.
Yeah. So there was special rewards as well for participants receiving a Arrakis Rising Muriel for their base. A cosmetic bonus that added in more incentives to that. I didn't see any of that now to put on my one. So the DLC caused a lot of confusion as well. As some players felt like they were misled completely by the Lost Harvest DLC. They were expecting a new building, foundations, kits, but only received four pieces of it.
Four
new pieces, wow. That was it.
Here's another girder to build your building with.
Yeah, have another type of window.
Yeah. This one's on an angle. Do you like it?
Yeah, it's a door that opens upwards instead of downwards.
So do you think this game has any hope of surviving long term?
Not long term, no. Unless there's some mods that people throw in there, I don't think it has a chance of longevity at all. I know Funcom have actually acknowledged the miscommunication and have promised to add 15 more building pieces by October.
Ooh.
We shall see how that goes down the line. So veterans were very frustrated, with few paying players expressed that new players had access to the DLC content for free during their event, without any compensation for early adopters.
I can kind of see where they're coming from. They paid money for it.
That
paying
I can
for
understand.
The game, and you're paying for this too, and you don't get what you're supposed to.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so it did dramatically change the shift in players at all that came in. As I said, it did. Some people were kind of interested. It did have a little hype of players come through, but it didn't really reach the bar, as I would say, anyways. There, the PvP. A lot of people are feeling a lot. A pressure to go into PvP zones, into the deep deserts, just to have some sort of play. There was a lot of end game gaps. Veterans were saying that there wasn't a meaningful end game content of whatever they went for. There was a huge grind to everything. There wasn't really a good balance with that. Including mechanics as well. That felt like it was punishing when you lose things and you have to go back and all that stuff.
I wonder why some of this stuff wasn't fixed during the betas and stuff when they were before the game actually came out. You would think they would have solved that or did something.
Exactly. Yeah. So a lot of people are saying even the mechanics of the vehicles, the character, storage management, and a clearer UI would have been a lot helpful.
A clearer UI? What was it all fuzzy?
It was. I didn't even get it. I had its basic stuff there. That was like, okay, cool. But, you know, the stuff in the center just drew me away from being immersive into this place there. So they did actually fix the Lost Harvest DLC, which they said they would. So they're going to put in new 15 building pieces within it. So they're working on that. Quality of life improvements, like renaming vehicles, containers, swapping seats with hotkeys are more reliable now in the Ornithopter. Rockets are being added to the public test client as well soon, so they'll be able to sort that bit out there. There were thousands upon thousands of cheaters.
Really?
Which is typical.
That doesn't surprise me, to be fair.
They were using duplication bugs, pretty much anything and everything they could go from there. So there you go. They're going to tweak the Deep Desert to make it a bit more balanced between the PvP and PvE for players there. Funcom have admitted to gaps in their community engagement and pledged they will be more consistent with updates and transparency moving forwards.
I don't know. It sounds like the too little, too late kind of thing. And then you're going to kill sales and et cetera.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I didn't enjoy it at all. It didn't feel like doing it at all. I just felt like some stranger in a strange land.
When did the game came out? Just a few months ago, I think.
It was, yeah.
It happened now.
It was quite recent.
Yeah.
Was it in August?
They did a lot of email campaigns. I signed up and I was getting like emails left and right all the time.
It was very highly pushed, wasn't it? Streams, adverts, you couldn't get away from it pretty much. So from seeing that, people's gaming, I was losing interest. So
they probably did that because they needed to get those front end sales before it died.
Before it died, exactly.
Or something.
But that's
should have just improved quality. You had a second game, I guess you were messing with.
So this is coming out soon, this month. It is out now. It is out now. Sorry. Okay. Pardon me. Okay. Excuse me.
This does look like a Souls-like, to be honest.
It does. It does. That's exactly what I was thinking. Here we go. It's down the bars. Here we go.
They use Souls-like so much, the next Mario game will come out and they'll probably go, it's Souls-like.
To be fair, a little side tangent, though. The Souls-like genre, there's only, so far, I think there's only two games I think that did it right, and that was the Jedi Survivors and Lies of P. Those are the only ones that actually did it good, and all the other ones just plain suck, to be fair. So,
true, absolutely. Yeah.
So this game looks pretty creepy. How much did you play, Matt?
I haven't played this. I've just seen it, and I was like, "Oh, this looks like only because of the graphics." The way the play style, because it's not normally something I'd go for, especially with the puzzles and all that stuff. But as soon as they started swearing, I was like, I'm in. That's me. I'm sold on this.
Yeah. Swearing really got me, man.
That's it. Yeah.
I thought the puzzles that they showed were kind of interesting looking.
They were very interesting. Like normally I hate puzzles. I really don't like them. I'll play them, especially if it's got, that sort of sense that you get with thrillers, horrors, that I need to get this thing done or I'm getting eaten by something behind me. So it kind of had that S kind of feeling to it there. So let me tell you about it first. It's also out on all the consoles, minus the Nintendo ones. So Trevor will have to miss out on that one. Yeah, absolutely. So you got your PlayStation 5, Xbox Series, XS, and PC. So it's bringing a haunted blend of psychological thriller, exploration, and melee combat. It's actually directed by the Deus Ex Human Revolution veteran Jonathan Jacques. Jacques Belletti. I hope I said your name right. If I don't,
okay.
There you go. Change your name.
I'm sure he listens. So
yeah. He does. He told me. Yeah. So the game drops players into a fictional nation of Hedia, a land scarred by civil war and plagued by supernatural beings known as the Hollow Walkers. Sounds kind of familiar. Yeah. Players step into the boots of Remy Latam, a rogue peacekeeper with a deeply personal quest to uncover his origins
and the truth
behind. He does indeed. Yeah, he loves cussing. He must be Irish. With the truth, I can say that because I'm Irish. And the truth behind a catastrophic event called the Calamity. I nearly said something else. With no maps, no quest markers, or hand holding at all, exploration is technically driven by instinct, environmental clues, and conversations that you have with survivors within that world.
That means I'm lost already.
I am totally lost. I'm gonzo. Yeah, you think that's going to be a 40-hour game? It's going to be a 40-year game for me.
Yeah,
I'll be just going around in circles. So the combat is deliberately intimate, focused on swords, axes, and pole arms, while a mysterious drone companion aids in both battle and puzzle solving. Definitely needed for me. Thank you very much for putting that in, especially for me. See, I told you he knows me. Yeah. So, there you go. The semi-open world design favors interconnected biomes over sprawling emptiness, encouraging methodical discoveries. pardon me. You got the standard edition, which is £59.99. The deluxe, of course, which is £79.99. Which gives you a 72-hour early access, which you don't need to buy now because no point. You get the digital art book and the soundtrack, of course, which sounds actually quite nice. You get cosmetic.
That's worth $30,
packs.
Not.
Yeah, maybe fiber. And a secret in-game item, which could be anything at all. Could be a sock, a glove, who knows. Despite launching the same day as Hollow Knight Silk Song, a clash.
I did it really?
Yeah.
That was bad timing.
Absolutely, yeah. So
we're gonna really live up to the name. Hell is us. We screwed up big time.
That's it. So the dev described it as a little callous. Hell is us has earned has earned praise for its dense lore, its labyrinth level design, and the refusal to compromise on player agency. Steam
we'll see.
Numbers peaked at 4,400 concurrent players, but early adopters say the game's mystery-driven approach makes one of the most distinctive releases of the year.
It could be niche, so you don't need like a million players to be successful. By the way,
true.
Depending on the budget of your game, course.
But then it should be niche priced like half.
Yeah, the price is this a full price game?
It is.
Yeah, $60.
Yeah. Yeah,
the normal $60, but you know.
Considering Silksong was only 20 new.
Yeah.
So. And absolutely. By the way, did you hear though? Speaking of concurrent numbers, Silksong in their first weekend they sold 5 million copies, including 3.3
Steam, right?
Yeah, 3 million on Steam's insanity. So
was that Game Pass? I forgot. Was
it in Game Pass? Yeah.
Oh, was it?
Oh, wow.
It is. Yes. Yeah.
So that means Game Pass.
It did all that aside from the fact and that it was on Game Pass.
Crazy, man.
And then some. Yeah. It does look good as well. So.
But yeah, Hell is Us. That's. Ooh, that's release date.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That was a good one there.
100% they lost sales. I do think, though, that most developers and even most people didn't think Silksong would be this big of a success.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but you know,
Going to be big, but not this big. So
many games avoided that date. I don't know why they didn't. So they knew something was up. You know,
the writing was on the wall. But even I didn't think that it was going to be this massive of a game, right?
Yeah.
But still, now it's like 300,000 concurrent players. I mean, it's 3 weeks or so after release.
It's going well
against four for Hell Is Us. Yeah,
quite so. Yeah, absolutely.
All right, just to give you a little take through the paperwork, as we say, join our Discord if you'd like. It's discord.gg/extremegamingpodcast. You can talk to us about games and stuff that you hear on our pod all the time here. Plus, we get into a bunch of other stuff, entertainment, superheroes, all kinds of stuff. So we've had quite a few people joining the Discord lately. So if you'd like to join it, join it. And you can ask for any one of us, and we'll chat with you. Check out YouTube. You will see the video version of this podcast. It is a little different than the audio. There's some extra little shinies, as we call it, we put in there. We also have our EGP quick breaks, which is just sections of our podcast that are in more biteable pieces. And we also have shorts, too, that go on as well. All right, we'll move along. I got a little tech news to talk about. This is something that really I wasn't expecting that came up, and I know you guys saw this. But basically, NVIDIA is investing $5 billion, that's B, billion, into Intel in a blockbuster deal. So apparently, they're going to get together to build all these systems on chips, SoCs, as they call them, for NVIDIA. But boy, talk about a lifeline. I mean, that's like they're like at their lowest all time, and they need the money. And they need somebody to invest. Nobody wants to do it. And here comes NVIDIA out of the blue with $5 billion.
Yeah, I don't think it was out of the blue, to be honest. But these deals take a long time to negotiate.
They've been talking for a while. True.
Yeah. But one thing I have to say about this whole deal is a lot of people now think that NVIDIA is going to make their own CPUs and stuff, which I don't think that's the case. If you read the papers, right, about what they're planning, this is actually more of a mobile chip now. NVIDIA, they needed an x86 license and they couldn't buy one because they already own ARM. Guess who has one? Intel. So now they have ARM, they have x86, and they have their own proprietary stuff. So they have everything now, and they could actually go into the mobile market now. And I do think a lot of this merger is specified, or I can't say merger, I mean this whatever it's called.
Yeah, right? It's not a merger, it's an investment.
Yeah, so whatever you want to call it, this partnership or whatever, is more for the how do I say this? More mobile and desktop related. So maybe laptop, though. Intel is still very strong in the laptop market, right? So AMD is almost non-existent when it comes to laptops. They have some. But when it comes to APUs, there's almost nothing about AMD in laptop market.
According to when I was looking through the article, they were saying that Intel's going to build custom x86 chips for NVIDIA, but they will feature the RTX GPUs on board.
Yeah. Imagine that in a handheld like the Steam Deck.
Yeah.
So,
But I think they said they're going to focus on the chips that NVIDIA wants to do. Obviously,
of course.
If it's a bargain. They say they want these CPUs to be integrated in AI clusters, of course, because that's what they do.
Yeah.
So, but that, you know, whatever it is, it saves Intel's butt. And this way they can, you know, continue on, which isn't, if it was anybody but an NVIDIA, I would say that's a good thing, because you want the competition to be there. But the competition is going to be there, but did it have to be NVIDIA?
The thing is, though, didn't Intel receive a lot of money from the U.S. government, like,
The government bought 10%.
See, they're
I don't think the amount was... as much as as NVIDIA.
Yeah, but that does mean that 15% of the Intel company...
10%.
No, in total, 15. So, when you have 10 from the government and 5 from NVIDIA now, or so,
maybe...
Intel is a bit broken up, but I don't think that's a bad thing, though.
No.
I mean, a lot of people are now saying it's doom for AMD. I don't think AMD is doomed, but I gotta be honest. If NVIDIA would, at some point, right, make their own CPUs and their own fabs, then I think AMD could be in some trouble when it comes to CPUs. I mean, remember, it only takes one good generation to steal the competition, like AMD did with Zen. So NVIDIA's no slouch, right? They make great products. I mean, you can think of them whatever you want, but they have the products and they have the know-how to do all those things. So
I think AMD probably had their spies and they knew this was coming. So I would think they have something on the table that they're going to reveal. You know, that's gonna.
I think AMD is very strong in the CPU market at this point time. So they're solidified. I read that for the first time since like the early 90s, AMD now has more of a market share in the CPU business than Intel has, especially in data centers. That's what I meant. So
I even saw an article somewhere where AMD was going to start putting out its old chips because people are want them for certain tasks. So I saw a thing like they're going to go back into production on a $40 chip.
AM4 refuses to die for some reason, so don't get me wrong. I don't think it's a bad thing, though. So, but no, I mean, well, longevity's good. I mean,
hey, look, for AMD, if somebody wants to buy a bunch of old chips, that's found money.
It's money. I mean,
they're easy to produce because they're producing much better ones now, and then they just sell them for whatever. Yeah. And not bad, little side money.
Well, AMD's fine. I mean, I don't think people need to be worried about AMD going out of business because of this collapse.
I think they'll still be around.
They'll still be around. And whatever you think of AMD or Intel or NVIDIA, I mean, we desperately need competition.
Sure. Yeah,
especially when it comes to GPUs, because I'm actually kind of curious what Intel is going to do with their Battlemage GPUs now. I mean, they're supposed to be launching Celestial, I think it is, next year. And after that, they had a roadmap. They're calling it Druid. So they still have a roadmap for two generations of GPUs. So
I would say that Intel's probably not going to do much of anything. But now that they got cash influx, maybe we'll start seeing some stuff.
Because, yeah. They throw it back into
an article. I wonder if you guys saw this. It was using a dual GPU configuration where you allow one GPU to work on the frames using lossless scaling and the other one to do all the other work. So in the video that I saw, what was interesting is they used a 3060, so this is not a new card. And then they used an Intel 6 gigabyte VRAM, and it was like a $100 card or something.
Yeah, they did it with the NVLink, I think it was, right?
Yeah, and the guy put it in there, and then he showed how, it was pretty simple. You did have to connect the monitor though to the little card, not to the Nvidia.
Okay.
I don't know if that, according to what I saw on screen, it didn't seem to affect anything. But yeah, the temperatures and load were down. The loss of scaling worked very well with it. It looked really good. Not a bad little concept to use to go with that.
Remember last week we talked about potentially. Like a ray tracing card, just pure for the ray tracing side.
Yeah.
That could be the speculation, of course, but that could be the next thing NVIDIA is going to try and sell us. So
you know, if they're smart, they probably look at this and they do a ray tracing / frame rate card, and that's it.
Yeah.
So you have your two most, annoying things about that bog down your system on a GPU taken care of with a side card. Now, if they give it for a reasonable price and they don't try to gouge us, I know. But if they did, then I think people would definitely buy it. I would.
Oh, yeah.
I think it'd be great.
Yeah,
we'll see. New technology. This is like real new technology coming up now. I had a chuckle when I saw a picture of a cassette tape, and I'm sitting there going like, oh, my God, cassette tape. And it goes way back for me. And I'm sitting there looking at this going like, what is this? And then I said, I'm reading this thing, and apparently this cassette tape is going to basically replace entire data centers. And I'm like, huh? And so I start reading this thing, and apparently they're using a cassette tape. Yes, it's true. And the tape is an actual tape inside of it. Okay. But to give you a couple quickies on this thing, it's DNA. And I'm trying to figure out, like, DNA, how's that work? So they basically are going to take the DNA and use it as a storage medium by putting the DNA sequencing onto these tapes. And apparently, from what I'm understanding, a DNA in a single human cell can theoretically hold 3.2 gigabytes of data, which is equivalent to 6,000 books, 1,000 songs, and if you want to go that far. They said that this is going to be a protective crystalline layer, that ensures the data remains intact. It's going to operate without electricity. No electricity. I thought, okay, this all sounded pretty good. They said that a 328-foot DNA cassette tape, meaning the tape inside, is 328 feet long in the cassette, can hold over 3 billion songs. They said that they expect the prototype device to handle 36 petabytes of data, which equals a storage of 36,000 hard drives.
I I could use that as my main gaming drive. Yeah. Maybe.
There you go. You never have to get another one again.
Nope.
Wouldn't it be hilarious though? You sit there and you buy a PC and it has a slot for a cassette tape. Just like the old days. And you just pop that tape in and like, well,
I'll probably be the first one to buy it if the price is okay. So. because I think those things are cool.
They're going to be aiming, obviously, at data centers first. And part of the reason they're doing this is not just the amount of storage, but when you have something that can hold that much data, that means you don't have to buy as much land. You don't have to run as much hardware. And if they're talking about no electricity, I mean, hello.
Won't have any of the problems of heat.
Yeah, the electricity costs will go down, you know, and other stuff that you need. So, yeah, I mean, everybody's racing to look up the best way of doing this. And this is pretty... I thought this was very cool. This is definitely something different that I've never heard of before. They said that one of the challenges is the speed at which the data can be written. They said that they're not concerned about it. They're working on that, you know, right now. Long-term data storage, though, is thousands of years.
It'll be long gone.
You know, the cassette tape of games that you played and, like, you put it a time capsule 1,000 years from now. Somebody digs it up. Goes, look, a cassette tape. Let's put this in this computer and see what happens.
Yeah.
They'll see the three of us in a podcast.
Oh, no. I don't think that's good for legacy. But...
They'll be like, oh, no. Who are these people?
This is the best the world had to offer, huh? Okay. Yeah
that's it.
It'll be like those comedy movies where they find a tape of us three and they go like that. They must be the leaders of that country.
Yeah.
I mean, why would they be like?
Well, yeah, they're trying to take on zombies and everything and infections.
Yeah, wow, it's just amazing. they've taken care of so many threats and things. It's just crazy.
Yeah, robot wars.
Anyway, to stick with the hardware side of stuff, I want to throw it over to Matt. Matt, you got a couple things you want to chat about?
I do.
Yeah, it's in the notes.
I know. I'm doing the voice. Do you mind?
All right.
In a world
where
I'm called on to do something.
I have to do it. Into my own thing.
Whether I like it or not.
I found a little love of mine. This was shown a while ago in the Games Card, I think it was. And I liked it. And it's a limited edition. And here it is, because I love it. Guess what it is?
Okay.
The Asus ROG Matrix GeForce RTX 5090 30th Anniversary Limited Edition.
That is the
thing. It will cost you even more money.
It will. They won't release the price, though.
Of course
now
not.
Tell us what it is. Oh, it's a surprise.
No, I understand Matt for liking it, because that's the reason I bought my laptop also, because it had the glowing ROG logo on it.
That's it. And it was round. It's a different shape to all the other GPUs that I just fell in love with.
It's
like,
only
whoa.
One fan? Or was there more?
Three fans.
One's on the
there
side.
There's no way you can make a 5090 with one fan. I mean, at least on the desktop side.
Unless you got a Dyson fan on it or something.
For our audio people out there, we're talking about the ROG Matrix GeForce RTX 5090 30th Anniversary Edition.
Limited edition.
So if you do want to see it, check out our video podcast. You'll see the video that we just rolled.
And if you see it in the store, just walk past it, because it's not worth your kidneys.
You can buy me one.
Was there any room around the price there, Matt? Any rumor at all?
No rumors at the price whatsoever.
That's
but it's going to be
dangerous.
Hefty.
Can I speculate
hefty.
Here?
You can.
$3,500 mm-hmm.
I think so. I think it's going to be around that price, maybe $3,500. Yeah. It's going to be big.
Oh, this is bad. I'm getting a tax cut in December. Yeah, oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Oh, man,
every day I stand in the mirror. You don't need a 5090. You don't need one.
Yes. Hey, maybe if I call them up, they'll let us have one to evaluate.
Yeah,
send it to me.
They'll do that.
Absolutely.
Who are you?
Why? Anyway, so they've updated the design and the cooling architecture of this card. The hybrid copper aluminium construction with that as well. So it's got the exposed copper elements, translucent. Put my teeth back in my mouth.
I like transluting. That's even better.
You need to do a bit of translucent.
That's true. They take money right out of your pocket.
Yeah. You heard about transgender. Now you got translucent. Lutant. Me. Right, there you go. So moving away from the heavier models, model shrouds, metal shrouds that they normally have of the old models. It's a quad fan layout. So the fourth fan is now integrated into the back plate, enhancing vertical airflow and enabling denser and denser fin. That was coming. Stacking. Ideal for compact chassis setups. We'll have to test this out. So Asa, send me one. Or three. I don't mind.
Yep, just send us one each. No worries. I'll take really good care of it. So.
Yeah, we'll give it back eventually.
And I'll send my 4090 in place.
Yeah, I'll send you 4090 and then we'll... glasses. Yeah. So there you go.
And when we send them back, we'll tell them, no, there's only two because we sold one on eBay. But hey.
Yeah, we're going to run out for 10 grand. Yeah. So the it has memory defroster returns on this one, a jumper activated feature for extreme LN2 overclocking. Okay. Originally seen in the GTX 780 Ti, if you remember that one. So that's back for the enthusiasts who love to push the thermal boundaries, who doesn't like to push their thermals. Yeah.
I have to push my thermals every day.
Yeah. 0 decibel fan mode. So the fan's now shut off completely
Zero? What?
Zero.
Zero fan mode. Oh.
So when you're not using the graphics card, then it goes into idle or low power state, improving the
It is very cool, but I'm just reading they're only making 1,000 of them. So
there is only a limited amount of 1,000.
So it is going to be 3.5. It's going to be 5,000.
It's going to be very.
Yeah.
You saw the liquid metal cooling. That was like it looked like a. You know, what do you call it, the movie that they did that with? Terminator.
Terminator 2.
They had the liquid metal, so you just see the liquid metal going down.
Liquid metal cooling is actually very, very efficient, though.
Oh, I'm sure it would be. I'm sure
it
would be.
You can do it on your CPU also, but it's a bit of a pain in the ass to apply because, you know, with thermal paste, you can literally go over the sides a little bit and it won't really hurt your PC. But if you, you know,
you need something
lose one droplet of your that thing, you're in trouble.
See it dribble out from liquid metal onto your motherboard.
Yeah, no, then it's bye bye godlike motherboard in
Did
your
you
case.
Say conductive?
Kapow. So power delivery enhancements have been made as well. Dual input support. The card can simulate at the same time draw power from both the 12V 2x6 cable and basis. GCHPWR slot. Whew.
That was a mouthful.
Yeah, stick that in your knickers and give it a whack.
A mouthful.
Yeah, absolutely. So it unlocks up to 800 watts of overclocking environments on there. There is a vertical mount safety. Liquid metal thermal compound is applied using a proprietary method that ensures safe vertical GPU installation. So they got bound little...
Proprietary method. What they just eyedropper it on there? That's proprietary.
Yeah. They've probably got like a seal around the edge of where it needs to be, so it keeps it intact there. So it's probably a little bit chunkier.
No leakage.
In the way. Yeah. Except for the bank. There you go. Yeah. So this will help modders and showcase builders show off their new shenanigans. So collector perks and legacy touches. Asus is bundling a special games card with each unit celebrating its 30-year GPU legacy. So if you see any special PCs out there, you'll have that one. The design nods to the past Matrix class GPUs, like the EN9800 GT Matrix. Did I have that card? I don't think I had that one. Mine was an 8800.
Someone they used in the movie.
Yeah, and the Teeth 1000 card, and the RTX 2080 TI Matrix. Blending nostalgia with cutting edge performance. No official price yet, but it's gonna be up there. Definitely.
There is no official price, I guess.
No. But
you probably
is.
Need to apply for that card to be able to buy it.
Maybe
they'll give one to J2Cent so we can
we
see.
We need
it.
Your mortgage.
Oh, those will get one, yeah, probably. So.
Your life and your motorcycle. Before that, but there's only 1,000 units.
Give me a cigar.
No more. Yeah, that's it. I want the graphic cards. I want it now.
Yes.
Here we go. So, yeah.
All right.
There you go.
We're going to be looking out for that one and not buying it. But
and
hey.
Crying. Yes.
At least we can look for it.
Yeah.
Or look at it.
We can look for it and
lick
cry.
It and then put it back down.
All right. We're going to roll back into some game news. This is something I actually sent to Hans, too. Apparently, they're coming out with a Witcher 3 Wild Hunt 10th Anniversary Monster Slayer Kit. So I'm looking at this thing, and I got to admit, looking at it, I'm just going, ooh, there's some goodies on there.
It is a bit too cool, so I need to restrain myself a little bit in this one.
Yeah, and it's not going to be cheap from anyway.
Probably not.
They're going to give a special edition of the game there, which obviously you can buy one, but they're going to include it. Witcher fans can also get their hands on this collectible kit. And it's set on here. I'll read you what you're going to get. There's a lot of stuff. You're going to get a Wolf School waste bag. Not the waste meaning throw stuff into it that you're throwing out, but around your waist.
Yeah, yeah. I think we got it. Great.
a wolf school belt bag, otherwise known as a fanny pack in some areas. a limited edition steel book. 500-piece puzzle with a mini poster to show you that you put it together wrong. A 2026 desk calendar. We're not done yet. Thermoactive ceramic mug. That I would like, because I'm a sucker for a good mug that has a nice logo on it. So I'm wondering how that changes, or you know, whether Geralt is not there and now he's there. Limited edition T-shirt.
Or he had the cloak on and now he doesn't.
Yeah. limited edition T-shirt. A set of 10 postcards. Who uses postcards anymore?
Yeah.
I mean, why don't they just say picture cards?
Yeah, picture cards, yeah.
I mean, you think about it. Postcard. No one sends postcards anymore. That's long time ago. A set of metal pins. I don't say how many pins, but apparently a set of metal pins. And a collector's metal keychain to which you could put some of your stuff on it. They're not going to be releasing this until November 11th. Right now, they're talking about a UK price of £230. So, you know, US is probably going to be like getting closer to 300. So, yeah, if you got 300 bucks to burn, it is nice. I don't know if I'm going to be one to get it, but it's nice. I mean, do like it.
Yeah, is there a picture of what you get, or are they keeping that color?
Yeah, no, they have a picture here. They have a picture, but you can't really see like how many pins you're going to get. But they do have a picture of what most of the stuff looks like.
Yeah. You get five.
It is pretty cool. I love it. I was reading the comments on the bottom, and some guy goes, a fanny pack? Yeah, hard pass on that bullshit.
It depends on the price, though. I wouldn't wear it, but the price, okay.
Yeah, another guy said, this is great. He goes, it'll end up being $5,000 when you add the Oompa Loompas tariffs.
Yeah, we all know that's a reference too. So
I love it when the people come up with some nice, funny things to say. Anyway, moving on to a different game, Endless Legend 2, which I'm kind of looking forward to because I like RTS games, real-time strategy. And this one says apparently the demo had a lot of critics saying different things about it, but the devs are actually coming in to change and make things, you know, better. I didn't get a chance to play any early access. I was going to wait till the regular one comes out, but some of the stuff that I've seen online looked very interesting. Looked different than just a typical RTS. But apparently they were having some problems with some stuff, but some of the things that are in it that they did like. They have a thing called Tidefall mechanic. This is real interesting. I've never seen this in games before. During the course of the game, the ocean will retreat, and when the ocean retreats, it leaves land, and you can actually go over there and try to see if you can, you know, play on the land or fight people on that land. But at some point, the tide comes back in, as they say, and it's just going to all of a sudden these land areas are going to be all underwater. It's a very interesting mechanic to go and fight someone, knowing that the water might come in and wipe you all out if you're not careful. They said there's going to be monsoons of different types of strength that you can mess with. So that's kind of like, okay. I thought that was kind of pretty cool. They said the problems they're having right now, though, is apparently it says about 25% of the reviews are mentioning UI problems. They said that like you were saying before, Max, some of it's blurry, some of it's giving you the wrong information, some of it's giving you not enough information, text bugs and stuff like that. So they said it's going to be something that's going to not just be handled by a simple patch, it's going to be something larger that'll have to take care of it. So they said, all right. And so they are going to attempt to do all this. I guess they're going to do it. But they've been stating, though, it's not something that's going to happen overnight. And I don't know what that means. So it either means, you know, putting the game aside and waiting for like a month or two or three or four.
Yeah.
Or putting up with whatever it is and just, you know, play it anyway. But that's another thing that's kind of a shame, though. I mean, that they should have had those type of problems that are going to take so long. You know, it should be something you should be able to fix in a patch, but apparently they've said that it's not going to be like that. So let's just say, okay. So if you all want to hold back from buying it until these things get fixed, that's up to you. Too bad on that part. Next thing I want to talk about is we've mentioned this before on past podcasts about Tencent suing Sony. Mm-hmm. Basically, they're suing them over the Horizon series games. Horizon Zero Dawn, Horizon Forbidden West, et cetera, that you've seen out there. It's a big IP for Sony. And there's a TV show coming, another game coming, et cetera. So the story was that Tencent approached Sony with a proposal on doing a canon game set in the Horizon universe, blah, blah, blah. And Sony pretty much said, like, nah, we're not interested. We can handle our own stuff. And so they, I guess, got PO'd, went off, and they decided to make a game called Lights of Motrium. Yeah. Now, when the first video came out of the game, the gameplay, it was practically a one-on-one direct ripoff of the Horizon series.
But if you saw the artwork without seeing the game, it's like, okay, is this Horizon? But apparently the game is completely different, no? It's a completely different style of game, isn't
well,
it?
Well, yeah, but there are some aspects of it that were different. Like in the Horizon games, you can't do base building or any kind of building.
Yeah.
But apparently they added that in there to the game, which is interesting. But you didn't have to make it look exactly like Horizon.
Right.
I mean,
the aesthetics is almost completely the same. So
yeah, I mean, everything. This, the outfits, the headdresses. Yeah. I mean, there's even a redheaded protagonist that looks like Aloy. I mean, come on. So
yeah,
apparently they're still
much
at this thing. Now this is Tencent's chance to fire back, I guess, at Sony and talk about stuff. So they said in the court filing, Sony basically said that Tencent approached them in 2024, like I said about the game, and that it was going to be a spinoff, etc. They said no thanks, and they basically went out and did this. They said they hit back at Sony, and they said that Tencent said of Sony, they contend that Sony are seeking an impermissible monopoly on conventions. So what they're trying to do, and I think it's pretty weak legally, but they're trying to say that everything that was created in Horizon is basically just another form of gaming normalcy. And then this stuff should be able to be used the same as certain mechanics are used across many games. I think they're really stretching that legal term. I don't understand. I don't think they're going to get very far with it. But they basically put in a motion to dismiss the entire case. I'm going like, yeah, Sony's going to dismiss the case. I don't think so. And you came after them. It's not like they came after you. Yeah, I mean, it was, you know, they're going
to
protect what they're going
to
protect.
To be fair, I'm wondering even if Sony proceeds this legally, if it's going to change anything. I mean,
I don't think so. I mean, the only thing they're saying that, and I really don't think this is going to happen, but they said if for some reason they were to go with Tencent on the idea that you can't copyright the look, or you can't copyright
the
style, and that it should be shared in all games, if they supposedly were to go along with that, that would mean that everything, including modders, wouldn't be able to do all the stuff that they do right now, because everything would be subject to this. It would be too much of a broad law that could affect so many things. That's dangerous.
To be fair, though, the game, the aesthetics of the game are completely the same. So I do think Sony has a case. I just wonder if it's, even if they win in court, I mean, they're still going to release the game, I think. Isn't Tencent a Chinese company anyway? So.
Yeah, they weren't. They didn't say anything about whether they're going to release it or not. But now lately, they've been talking about they're going to do it anyway. I don't know. I think Sony's going to try to block that for sure. I don't know how much of the game is done. I'm assuming it's mostly done or all done. But Sony's definitely not going for that. They're hanging in there on the trade.
Sorry.
The what?
I was going to say, do you think it's going to go down the same road as PAL World? You know, Sony will get like certain amounts, but then they can.
You know, I don't know. I mean, more I think it's all been put into the limelight, as I say, because of what's going on with Power World and Nintendo. But you expect that from Nintendo.
Yeah,
they're basically going to sue if one finger looks like, you know, one of their characters or something like that.
Yeah, you know.
But Power World's still been able to survive, so they've done it for a while. I don't know whether
Power
maybe
World, the devs of Power World, they announced a new game, which is completely the same as one of those Pokemon Builder game they announced a few days back. So just to give the giant middle finger to the Nintendo company.
Pretty much.
I also heard Power World was gonna is doing some kind of a crossover, I think, with some horror game or something.
They're actually fighting back legally. So, and to be fair, I do think Power World is gonna win this one anyway. So. Which I don't think Tencent will because, for reasons.
I mean, there's some sameness in what Power World's doing with their critters as compared to Pokemon's, but not that close. No, I mean, come on, these people are doing different things. They're not doing
nowhere near
to
what Tencent is doing.
Exactly. Tencent just looks like they took the skin and just went, here, we're going to skin over Horizon and change it a little.
New name. Boom.
And adding base building, even though that's kind of interesting, is not going to be something that's going to change the game enough to avoid the lawsuit. What they could do, if I was Sony, I would make, instead of them getting money out of Tencent, tell them that they have to give them the game.
Yeah.
And release it themselves.
Exactly. So then they just do a little tweak here, a little tweak there to make it look like everything's Horizon, and then go, look, a new game.
Yeah.
That'd be hilarious. I would love to see something like that happen. I think that'd be pretty cool.
Yeah.
All right. So let's see. We can talk a little bit about real-time strategy games. You guys like RTSs?
Yeah.
Or no?
I play them on a weekly basis. So.
I'm sorry, Hans. What did you say?
I play them on a weekly basis with a real-life friend. So we still play Age of Empires 4 and Age of Mythology Retold.
Oh, okay. That's cool. I definitely like them. There's a bunch of games that are going to be coming up across this year. And as well as next year too. And some of these I've heard, some of these I've not heard. A lot of these don't have release dates just yet. There's a game coming up called Dying Breed. It's published by MicroProse, which I've heard before. It's developed by a small indie team called Sarnair. It takes everyone back to the feeling of Command and Conquer, Tiberian Dawn, which would be kind of cool. So it takes you on a trip through post-apocalyptic world where you'll have to build your base and gather resources. They said they're extremely inspired by Red Alert and Commandos. So now this one apparently is going to come out October 7th, so that's not too long from now. You can see the release date announcement and trailer on YouTube now. So that might be something interesting. Another one coming up is called Sanctuary Shattered Sun. This one's large-scale battles taking place across the surface of a star-encompassing Dyson Sphere. Ooh, neat. So they're going to be on a Dyson Sphere. If you don't know what that is, it's like a giant planet Earth made out of metal. Mm-hmm. And everything's on the inside. You know, stuff the whole world. They said that the RTS... See here, you can issue orders to units still in production, save templates of base layout. Ooh, that's nice. You want to save a template of your base, you can do that and just bring the base back. So that's good instead of rebuilding it from scratch. You can have up to 10,000 units. Okay. How do you keep all them under control?
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, I think it's cool, but I don't know.
That's too much. Sorry.
Well, like I said, up to. Doesn't mean you have to.
Yeah.
You know. Let's see. Okay, not much on that one. I don't see it. Well, they said release 2025, but they don't have a date per se. Exact date, I should say. They have another game called Zero Space. It's a massive RTS where all the game modes, single player, co-op, PvE, PvP, all in the same MMO galaxy. So I'm like, that sounds pretty cool because I'd like to do the PvP, but you can still do single player if you want too. You may have heard of the game Planetside 2, so it's something similar-ish to that. They're talking about a demo coming out in late January, so there might be something we can play for free, which would be great. They said they want to create a living, breathing galaxy shared by thousands of real players. They said that they're going to be tracking it live, similar to Helldiver 2's Galactic War. Strongholds can be upgraded as more resources are extracted, and heroes can even reshape battlefields. Very complex from what I'm reading, so it might be something that you really got to maybe pay attention to the minutiae. I'm not sure. The release is still 2025. Again, you know, 2025 is coming to a close soon. So no actual date. So some of these things might get pushed into 2026.
Mm-hmm.
Another game coming is called Global Conflagration. Yeah, say that 10 times fast. It should come up with a different name on that one. Another indie revival of the Command & Conquer type formula. They said that special attention on this game has been paid to streamlining and modernizing the gameplay loop while adding layers of customization. I like customization. They said they will do an early access at some point, I guess this year, to make sure it comes with all the things that are expected. The setting of the game's in Europe, thrown into chaos once again by the actions of an elusive pirate military company.
Ooh.
Okay. so that's kind of interesting. Let's see. They have another one coming up called Farthest Frontier. I can't believe so many RTSs are coming out. There used to be like none.
Yeah, we had to wait ages point. For some decent ones at least. Yeah,
and you and still haven't named the one that I'm waiting for, so I'm waiting if it's in there. So.
Broken Arrow.
All right, hold on. Let me see. What's the name of it? I'll look.
Empire Eternal, which is kind of a remake of Empire Earth, which in my opinion was one of the best games I've ever placed in real-time strategy genre.
Yeah, because I'm not seeing that in the list.
Yeah, there's no release date yet, I think. So let me just quickly check the Steam page of it.
It's probably going to be a while then, I guess. Or...
Sadly.
Empire Eternal? Is that what you said?
Empire Eternal, yeah.
Yeah, I got it. It's here. Sorry.
Ah, there we go. So.
It says here, like, if you're a big fan of Age of Empires and Empire Earth, that's cool. You'll be happy to learn Empire Eternal and RTS, which seems to be channeling the strengths of both those series while also promising extensive modding support. Ooh, that's good.
Yeah.
EPO Games, MicroProse Software. Boy, another one. MicroProse is like always pumping out something with these. Their name always pops up.
Yeah.
They aren't ready. To be determined. Yeah. They're not locked in any kind
of
thing.
I'm really waiting for that game. I really want that one. So.
It says here that you can expect moment-to-moment gameplay. In an RTS, I'm not sure what they mean.
Yeah, well, I think it is in Empire Earth because the game got so ridiculously big. I mean, if you played against another player, right, you could have, like, probably around 2,000 or 3,000 units scattered around the map. So I'm guessing that's what they mean by that. So you could fight at 3-4 different places at once. So,
wow.
Which is annoying if you don't know the shortcut.
Yeah. They said obvious inspirations and graphics that look adequately retro, but 3D ambitious.
Screenshots so look good. If you look on the Steam page, you can wishlist the game. It actually looks very good.
Yeah, they only have a picture here of it, but it looks pretty cool.
Yeah.
So I'd have to go check that out. It's going to be a deep RTS title. It aims to deliver not just an homage, but also the logical evolution of the old school formula from AOE and etc. So, okay.
Let's hope.
This next game, I don't know why they named it this, but this is great. It's Dorf.
Yeah, what is that, name? Yeah.
I want that, like, now just because of the name.
Yeah.
And I was waiting to see where they put a K there. It would be Dork. It would be even better.
Yeah.
So Dorf.
That's
a real-time strategic conflict. I'm like, okay. So Dorf is another title that apparently people have been hearing about and waiting for. They said, similar to Final Liberation, Crush, Kill, and Destroy. I don't even know if I heard of that one. This is another one that's not set a release window yet. So we're not, you know, they do have a Steam page and et cetera. So, that, you know, I can't really get an idea what does Dorf mean? I'm looking here to see whether there's some kind of a... It doesn't say here what Dorf stands for. Because it's D.O.R.F. So obviously it stands for something, I guess. Let's see. Yeah, that's all they're really
Department
saying.
Of Frolicking Robots.
Right.
Robotic Frolicking. There
we
go.
Let's see what else we got. Null Space. This one I've heard of. I've heard of this a bunch of times, but I don't know. It's to be determined again. So they're not really sure. Story-driven RTS in a retro-futuristic universe where you'll construct stations, gather resources, and command fleets across star systems. Strong focus on realistic simulations and physics.
Ooh.
Personally, I hope this game is good because I'm a big Homeworld fan, and the new Homeworld was not good.
It wasn't very good.
You know, the previous ones, a lot of people complained about it, and the game kind of flopped out, which is a shame.
Somebody else was playing that in the Discord.
You wait 20 years for a new Homeworld just to find out it flops anyway.
That sucks. Yeah.
Anyway, it says here, let's see, there's a strong focus. As it stands, Null Space is being marketed as a strictly single-player title. Okay. And the Homeworld, there you go. And the Homeworld influences are more than apparent, but you won't hear us complain. So that looks kind of cool. A couple other ones I'm not going to go into too much as we come to towards the end of the show, but they do have one, Game of Thrones, War for Westeros. Mm-hmm. That could be interesting. So George R. R. Martin's fantasy universe is coming to the RTS genre. And we think Age of Darkness developer and publisher PlaySlide is a good pick to handle this. So, well, I don't know. We'll see. The release window is 2026. We have a little time. He said the game is looking like Battle for Middle Earth. But Westeros is...
Love those.
Yeah. Westeros set, and that's one... I mean, if they can do something like that and make it like Battle for Middle Earth, but on the Game of Thrones, you know, theme, that could be quite good. So apparently you can conquer in the Seven Kingdoms solo or in free-for-all multiplayer. Cool. And you can also command the Night King and the Army of the Dead if you want. So it's really going all in. So it's like, cool.
Can I make a very small confession?
Mm-hmm.
I haven't seen Game of Thrones yet.
There's some people that have it.
I know all the lore by the, so to speak, but I have never seen it yet.
You should go back and see it. You would like it. I mean, the eighth season didn't really live up.
I was just going to say, the only thing keeping me back is that it's eight seasons I need to watch. So
I didn't think the eighth season was as bad as some people said. I'm not going to say it was as good as the previous seasons. It felt kind of rushed. It's kind of those things where you brought a show that really could have done it in six or seven, and you just wanted to eke it out for another one, another season.
That's the thing stopping me, though. I have to watch eight seasons, like, oh, my God.
Yeah, but I'll tell you, it's worth it for the first five or six seasons alone right there.
Someday. That's the thing, though. I have them right here. I just need to pop them in and watch them.
Yeah.
I'm even liking House of Dragons has been really good, too. The new one.
I will watch it someday. The same with Harry Potter. I know those movies are popular. I haven't seen them yet. Someday I'll see them.
I can join you on some of that.
At least you watched Star Wars.
Yeah, I haven't seen the
last
two.
There is no
two.
Star Wars anymore. Star Wars is dead.
That's dead now.
Star Wars died.
I have not seen the last two.
And the Grogu.
Oh, did you see the trailer? I'm not sure what I made of the trailer. Some of it looked good, and some of it was a little confusing.
Come on, guys. It's just a glorified fourth season episode, so whatever.
It is.
Yeah, but they had the big AT-ATs, though. So you
calling it
now,
this movie will not make $400 million at the global box office. No way. Nope.
We'll see. Pedro in it.
Back to games.
Pedro's voice is in it. That's all. If people think Pedro's under the armor, he is not.
Yeah, I've heard that about the seasons, that Pedro's not even going to be in the seasons.
In the seasons, you only saw his face like a couple times here and there.
Got to be now honest, though. When it comes to Star Wars, they were also planning a Rey movie. I want to see this happen, right?
I
want to see it go down in flames even more than it is now, so...
Absolutely, yeah.
I keep hearing so many rumors on new Star Wars movies. I have no idea where they're going.
There's about 20 in development, I think. So
yeah, and then you find out that lots of them just drop by the wayside, so you never know what's going on.
I think
it's gonna be a love story between Palpatine and her.
Can we talk about something less depressing than Star Wars, though? So.
Well, we can kind of wrap it up, but there's a lot of RTSs coming out.
Yeah.
According to this, they have real dates. There's also other games, Age of Darkness, Final Stand, coming in January. Or was it already? Let's see. State of Conflict, Battlefield Commander, World War II. Ooh, that might be interesting. Let's see what that's about. Tempest Rising, Broken Arrow, The Scouring.
Broken Arrow's out.
That's a cool name. The Scouring.
Scouring, yeah.
Scourge. So lots of RTS are fans of that, which I definitely am, but probably too many coming out, but that's okay. Well, you know, better to have more good games than not have any.
Yeah.
You know, than Silent Hill? That's what you said.
Yeah. There you go. Make an RTS over that. There you
go. Well, it's not fair yet.
How would that even work? I mean, seriously.
Yeah, it wouldn't. Yeah. You'd have creatures running around. You just have armies of these creatures go after. Yeah, that wouldn't
work.
Pick up strangers on the way to be part of your
I wouldn't become a game developer if I was you, though.
So we got enough of those turning up.
Okay, let me cross that one out then. I'll start another one instead then.
Yeah.
Well, what
I was going to use the same
games...
exact models, too. Damn.
Let me go back to Hans now. Have you finished, to your satisfaction, Silksong, or no?
I'm struggling with the final boss.
Still? Oh, my God. Last week you said you think you played it 100 times or something?
That wasn't the final boss.
Oh, that wasn't the final boss.
It was 58, by the way, until getting the boss done.
So how many times on the final boss now?
I don't think I won. I didn't count. I don't want to know.
No,
I haven't played now for 3 days, I think, so I needed a break. And I'm still too stubborn to use cheat. So,
good.
But if this keeps happening, I'm going to have to use a cheat, but I just don't want to admit defeat yet.
But good for you. You like the punishment. I get it. So
we're walking a thin line at the moment, but we'll see.
I always have the fun factor line. If I go below the fun factor line, that's it.
Right. I mean, it is mostly fun if you see yourself progressing during a boss fight, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're like me now, stuck on what I think is a second phase for like 50 or 60 tries. Then the fun starts to go down a little bit. And I'm not a very good skilled gamer, so for me that's really hard to do. So someday, maybe.
Oh, well. Well, with that, we're going to go ahead and wrap up the show. I didn't have time for the quiz. Sorry, people.
Okay.
I will get it out the next time around. Next week is going to be our 300th episode, so that's going to be a little special, and I have got about 5 special guests that left a couple little audio clips for me that I'll have to play in the show. Can't tell you guys what it is, but I think you'll be surprised.
Nice.
So that will be kind of fun, and whatever else comes about, or we'll just do our usual show. Thanks, you guys, for joining me. We'll see you next week, etc. And everybody out there that's listening. Thanks for supporting the show. There's been a lot more interest going on in the show lately, which is good. And we'll keep it up because we love to do this kind of stuff. So take care, everybody. See you next week. Bye-bye.
Take care. Cheerio. Bye.
I don't want to set the world on fire. I just want to start a flame in your heart.